December can be a distressing time in politics because most of us are distracted by holidays and vacations. It's a traditional time for uncomfortable revelations offered now by public figures in the hope that voters won't pay too much attention to the transgressions. A couple of cases in point are before us now: the president's fundraising practices for the campaign and for his legal defense fund, and the admission by the Speaker of the House that he broke House rules and then gave inaccurate information to the Ethics Committee investigating it. The Speaker wants to be Speaker again, despite his problems. The President indisputably will be President again, despite his. But what do these vacation revelations do to their chances of being able to govern effectively? Historian Michael Beschloss joins us. He's written books on four presidents. The latest is The Crisis Years, Kennedy and Khrushchev. Michael Beschloss, since we all like to think of our own time as important and believe that it is somehow historic, I think that there's a general perception that politics is at an historic low level, a very degraded state right now. Is that true?
Well, it would seem that way because you've got the two highest elected leaders of both branches, the President of the United States and the Speaker of the House, under clouds. But the surprising thing is that politics in this country at the national level is probably cleaner than it's been in 200 years. We are rather pessimistic about it because of Vietnam and Watergate, two massive cases in which the public thinks that our government did not behave very well. But because of finance laws and also because of much stricter rules for members of Congress, you have a very different situation in 1996 and also the last 20 years from most of American history, when you oftentimes had senators falling down drunk on the Senate floor. It was not very often reported. And other members of Congress taking briefcases full of cash from special interests. That's a very long way from 1996.
And, of course, in the days when those briefcases full of cash were being handed out, we defined special interests as railroads and banks, not as black people and old people and so on, as we sometimes define them now.
That's exactly right. And in those days, there would oftentimes be a member of Congress whom his colleagues knew of as being sort of the congressman from a certain corporation or a certain railroad, and he was notorious for carrying out that company's bidding on the House floor.
I know that it's also true that the press 200 years ago was willing to say anything about anybody and not care very much about whether it was true. The press these days is almost puritanical by comparison. But still, the press, when you include radio and television, there's such a steady drumbeat. Surely that is different from 200 years ago. And perhaps that feeds the perception that somehow this is all worse.
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, the press now is much more skeptical of political leaders because they've been given very big reason to be. In 1970 and 71 and 72, I think very few of us could have imagined that in modern times you would have had a president of the United States engage in obstruction of justice to cover up bad things he had done, as Richard Nixon had. And so the result is that in modern times, the press is a lot more prosecutorial than it may have been in previous eras. The other thing you've got is that the public, I think, is much more willing to believe bad things about political leaders. You had, as you mentioned, in early gazettes in this country, all sorts of absolutely horrible things written about political leaders as beating wives and doing other horrible things, drinking, taking money, some of it true, some of it not. But the public used to be a lot more skeptical of this sort of thing. Nowadays, I think the public is a lot more pessimistic about the motives of political leaders, and you have a combination of that with a press that is a lot more accurate, and the result is that you see these polls in recent years of Americans who have very little confidence in their government and in their political system.
Voters' loss of confidence is much talked about as being reflected by the fact that people don't vote. But is that in fact the only reflection that we see of this perception that people have that politics is low and dirty and that the participants in politics are low and dirty too?
I think it's the deepest one because the most elemental thing that you expect of a political system is for people to say, this is where we address the deepest questions in our country. And when people don't vote, they're saying one of two things. They're either saying, I find the system appalling and I don't want to be a part of it, or they're saying, I find what it is doing trivial and I don't think it's going to achieve the kind of changes that I would like to see, and so therefore I'm not going to bother being involved. That second thing is not something we can address very much, but the first thing is something that I think we might find ourselves doing with great fervor during the next year.
Well, now, you made the point that that politics is actually probably cleaner than it's been in a while, and that politicians are probably, on the whole, more honest than they have been in the past. And yet the people don't believe that. If politics were squeaky clean, if campaigns were reformed, if all of these things that we deplore were not happening, are we as a people prepared to even to believe in it anyway? Would we just go for the cynical? Would we attack it?
I think that if those things did happen, we would be a lot more optimistic about this system. You go back to the founding period. When this country became independent, there was enormous feeling that we had worked so hard to achieve our independence and get this political system, which was what we wanted at great cost, that people out of great love for their country would behave well. That idea began to get knocked down, but it's very deep in the American character. I think if you got to a situation where people felt that politics had really become quite clean, I think they're very eager to believe. And if that happens, I think we might look back on the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s as sort of a temporary dark age in terms of public confidence in our system.
But will we look back at it as a temporary dark age in reality? I mean, how are we going to think about the politicians of this period?
My guess is that as we get a little bit more perspective, we will see that because the politicians were so scrutinized by the media, and because the rules became tighter, and because you had laws such as a special prosecutor law for all of its failings, you had a system that actually operated much nearer to the American ideal than for most of American history. However, if the kind of reforms that we're talking about do come out of the things that we've seen both in the Clinton administration and also with Newt Gingrich and others, I think we might look at this period as something that did not come as far as it could have.
Presidential historian Michael Beschloss. His most recent book is called The Crisis Years, Kennedy and Khrushchev, and he has a book about Lyndon Johnson coming out next fall.